Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we have begun a discussion of renewing our minds. The great Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote to Christians in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's a remarkable statement, because he's writing to people who've already undergone a tremendous transformation. When a person bows their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, they become a new creature in Christ. A transformation of their inward man, of their spirit, takes place. However, our bodies and our minds are not directly affected. So Paul instructed Christians in Romans chapter 12 to present their bodies to God as instruments of righteousness, as living sacrifices, and to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what it means to have your mind renewed. People think it means acquiring new information, memorizing some Bible verses, and making some positive affirmations. But it's much more than that. The word transformed in the Greek, here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, means, well, the word is metamorpho. We get our word metamorphosis from it, which gives you an idea of the meaning. It means to change form, change one's form, to be transfigured. To renew your mind involves a lot of things, but this is how we're defining it for the purpose of our discussion. To renew your mind means to change your perception of reality, to learn to see things the way they really are. The way they really are is the way God sees them. Our minds are limited to the information our five physical senses bring to us. Our minds have been educated by a system that's contrary to God, this fallen world, and we all have attitudes and prejudices and hurts and emotional damages and misperceptions in our mind that keep us from demonstrating the will of God in our lives. Our minds must be renewed, or our perception of reality must be changed and brought in line with the way God sees things, so that we can demonstrate the will of God in our lives. We made the point yesterday that the Bible is filled with examples of people who face the same situation, but with very different results, because their perceptions of reality were different. It's not what you see in life that defeats you. It's how you see what you see. If you can learn to see things the way God sees things, according to His Word, you will triumph in the challenges of life. Now, we left off yesterday setting up the context of this statement about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul didn't just write that verse out of the blue. He has been writing for what you and I know as 11 chapters up to this point. He's already written 11 chapters. He didn't write in chapter and verse. He wrote a letter. But he has been systematically explaining salvation by grace through faith. And we made the point yesterday that Romans 9, 10, and 11 are actually an insert. Paul takes a side journey there. In Romans chapter 8, he ends his discussion for a moment and takes a side journey to answer a question that might have arisen at that point about the fate of the Jews who by and large had rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And then in Romans chapter 12, he comes back to his discussion of salvation by grace through faith apart from the law of Moses. I said all that to say we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8 to get the context in which Paul made the statement that you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 9, 10, and 11 has awesome stuff in it, but it's a whole discussion for another day. It's like a big parenthesis in between the end of Romans chapter 8 and the end of Romans chapter 12. So we're going back to Romans 8. Now, in Romans 12, Paul has returned to his discussion of salvation by grace through faith in Christ by telling Christians that they must renew their minds. If we back up to Romans 8, we get the context of Paul's statement about renewing the mind. Paul made that statement in the context of our created purpose and destiny and the ultimate goal of salvation by grace through faith. Let me say that again. Paul made the statement about getting your mind renewed in the context of our created purpose and destiny and the ultimate goal of salvation by grace through faith. The ultimate goal of salvation is to make sinners into sons and daughters of God and then conform them to the image of Jesus Christ. We could do whole lessons on this. You may have thought that the purpose of salvation was to keep us out of hell and get us into heaven. Yes, it will keep you out of hell. Yes, it will get you into heaven. But the purpose of salvation is bigger than that. God's purpose in salvation is to turn sinners into sons and daughters and then conform them to the image of Jesus Christ. Let me read Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, "For whom God did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." If you ever wonder what your purpose is, why God made you, there it is right there. Before he ever formed the earth, he knew you, and he decided to make you his son or daughter through what Jesus did for you at the cross, to transform you from a sinner into a holy, righteous son and daughter of God. God foreknew us, and before he created the earth, he conceived a plan to make men into holy, righteous sons and daughters through faith in Christ. We could do a whole lesson on that because that's what the Bible is. It's the story of God's desire for our family and the lengths to which he has gone to obtain that family through Jesus. But the point for our discussion is this. Let me read that verse again, Romans 8:29, "For whom God did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Note that word conformed. It is the word sumorpho in the Greek, and it's made up of two words that denote union with or together. The word soon means union or together. And morph means form. This word means, conformed means jointly formed or having the same form as. But notice, there's that word morph in there. I'm not trying to impress you with Greek. That's not my point. I want you to notice that that there's some words in the scripture that all come out of the same root word, and the idea is transformation, metamorphosis, complete change. This word here, the root of it is the same root word, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the same root word. And here, there's another word stuck on it that makes the word mean to have the same form as. Let me read you. This is how the Amplified says it. "He also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share his likeness inwardly." Now, this word conformed or having the same form as, see what? You're transfigured to what? To the same form as Jesus. You don't become Jesus, but you become like him in his humanity. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me stick with the outline here. We'll get all this explained. The word conformed is also found over in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." That phrase, "that it may be fashioned like unto," is the same word translated conformed to the image of Christ. Made like, share the same form as. God intends that we be changed into the same image as Jesus. Let me read the New Century Version of this verse. "But our homeland is in heaven, and we are waiting for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to come from heaven. By his power to rule all things, he will change our simple bodies and make them like his own glorious body." So much we could say about all this, but note the point. transformation. Paul had been talking about being transformed into the image of Christ, made like Jesus in character and in power. That's the context in which he said you need to get your mind renewed. See, our created purpose, our destiny, is to be made like Jesus in our entire being, inward and outward conformity to the image of Christ. Jesus is the pattern for God's family. Renewing the mind is a key part of the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. We'll discuss all this in detail in future lessons, but consider a few quick points right now. Jesus is God become a man without ceasing to be God. While on earth, though, he did not live as God. He lived as a man. He lived out of his humanity as a man in dependence on his Father. By doing this, he showed us what sons of God look like and how they live in relation to God and their fellow man. The standard for Christian behavior is Jesus. If any man says he abides in Christ, he ought to walk even as Jesus walked. If Jesus walked as he did on this earth, as God, then we can't do it because we're not God. But he didn't live the way he lived out of his divinity. He lived the way he lived as a man in dependence on his heavenly Father to show us what sons of God look like, to show us what we're supposed to look like, to show us what we are being transformed into. To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ means to be made like him in character and in power. That means to live holy lives. A holy life is a life that's separate from evil, and it means to walk in love. It means to do the works of Jesus and destroy the works of the devil. Obviously, we could do whole lessons on each point here. Now, let me say this, because we're coming to the end. There are some ways in which Jesus is unique in a category by himself. He's the only God-man, fully God, fully man. He's the only man who pre-existed with the Father before he was born into this world. You and I did not exist until the moment of conception in our mother's womb. Jesus is the only one qualified to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. But there are some ways in which Jesus is only the first of a race of men or sons with the life of God in their spirit who are conformed to the image of Christ, who live and act like him. Romans 8:29 goes on to say, so that his son Jesus might be the eldest among many brothers. We'll pick it up here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.